This message was recorded live at Lighthouse Christian Center in Puyallup, Washington, and is designed to inspire and encourage you in your Christian journey. To find out more about Lighthouse, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org.
Amen. You know, December 21st is coming. That's the winter solstice, and that means that it is the least amount of light during the year. And by the way, there's no coincidence that my daughter's getting married on that day. All right, I want you to the least amount of light in the whole year happens on that day. And all of us know, man, we get up at 7 o'clock in the morning, it's still dark, it's raining. It can be dark here in Washington State. I just think it's wonderful. Every year, in the darkest time of the year, Christmas comes bringing light. And of course, that's the way it was in the very first Christmas story, man. The angels did this dazzling light show in the sky, and the shepherds went to Bethlehem as a result. The wise men had another light in the sky. It was a star. So light is a theme in the Christmas story, but believe me, it doesn't stop there. Light is a major theme in the Gospels, especially in light of Jesus' life. Let's look at what he says about himself in John 12:46. It says this: I have come as a light to shine in this dark world, so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in darkness. Now, he's not, of course, talking about physical darkness. He's talking about spiritual darkness, because everyone who has not yet come to know God or had a relationship with God, the scriptures say, are in spiritual darkness. That is, they cannot see the true realities. In fact, if you think about just the image of this metaphor of light and dark, think about what literal darkness means. Literal darkness means that you cannot see what is really there. There may be mountains 10 miles away. You can't see them. And so spiritual darkness is really this image then of when our vision is obscured, when we can't see the truth, when we don't understand who God is or what God is doing in our lives. So Jesus said here, I'm the light that shines in the dark world. So when a person comes to faith in Christ, man, they get the light of God's truth, and they can begin now to have a true relationship with God. But I want you to know something. Most of us believers, we can remember the day the light came into our life, where we knew who God was and we committed our lives to him. But I want you to know, Christians, I think you'd agree with me that even after we come to know God, that there are still some dark days in our lives. Dark days, maybe of dark relationship days, dark economic days, dark days sometimes of illness, those kind of things. And sometimes believers, even after we come to know Christ, we experience an unfortunate series of events, and it can produce some darkness in our life. Well, listen to the psalmist. It kind of reminds me of Psalm 88. Look at Psalm 88. Here's a psalmist. This is a believer. And here's what this believer says. You, and he's talking to God, remember, you have taken away my companions and loved ones. Only darkness remains. Well, what happens? That's a believer talking, guys. So what happens when some disappointment or some crisis or some loss or stress point is present in our lives? It can begin to feel as if God's light is growing dimmer. You ever been in your house some evening by yourself and all of a sudden the light's dimmed? I don't know, some power, that wouldn't be a surge. I don't know what it would be, a power drain of some kind. All of a sudden, ooh, what's happening? There's less light going on here. Well, what happens in the Christian life, if they're going through difficulties, what can happen sometimes is the light can seem to grow dim. That is, God's truth, God's perspective seems a little less accessible to us. So, in light of that, I have a goal for everyone this weekend. Listen, if you are going through any kind of dark days at all, I want you to come out of this service encouraged and strengthened today. And by the way, even if you're not going through a dark day, I have this thought in about life. And the thought is this: either you are in one of three conditions at all times. Either you just come out of a dark day in difficulty, or you're experiencing a dark day of difficulty, or you are just about to go into a dark day of difficulty. Why do I say that? I'm not unhappy about that because that's the way life is. There's always going to be a challenge. So what I'm going to be talking about today, I think will make a difference for you. Now, what I want to do is really talk about this issue of light and darkness, how God's light can be there for our dark days. And I want to talk about that in light of maybe four common difficulties in our life. As I go through in my life, I see these in my life, and I also see it as a pastor. And we're going to talk about then how God's light can make a difference in those dark days. But as we do that, I want to remind you of one important scriptural truth that is a part of this message today, and it will help us get through these other truths I want to talk about. And that truth is this, that principle is this. Here it is. There is a balance between human responsibility and divine action. That is, in order to receive God's best in our lives, yes, God is going to have to work, but also we are going to have to work. We are going to have to do something to get God's best. He's going to act, but you're going to have to act too in some way. In fact, you even see this principle here in John 12:46 again. Put John 12:46 up again, and you can see, well, you can have your outline there. I have come, it says, as a light to shine in this dark world. Well, that's divine action, isn't it? That's something God is doing. He is shining in this dark world. His truth is here. But then look what it says. So that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in darkness. Putting your trust in God is something you do. So right away we begin to see this principle. Oh, yes, darkness comes. We want God's light. But hey, hold it. It's God's part. And then it's also God's divine action, but it's our human responsibility. You know, let me give you another example of this. You can find it in the book of Jude. Now, Jude only has verses, no chapters. But in verse 1 of Jude, it says this. I have it in your outline. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ. There's no doubt. It says right here, God loves believer. And it's his power that keeps them spiritually safe. I mean, he exerts power, he exerts influence, and he keeps us safe in his love. It's very clear from this passage. That's the bottom line. But then go to verse 21. Look what it says. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of the Lord. Keep yourselves? Didn't you just tell us that God loves us and we're kept by Jesus Christ? And then he turns around and says, no, keep yourselves in God's love. What is he saying? There's always divine action, what God says he will do, and that he's always telling us, man, you have some human responsibility as well if you want to have my best for your lives. And in fact, we just got out of studying the book of Colossians. In Colossians 1:29, you remember, Paul illustrates this as well. He says, to this end, I labor, struggling with all of his energy. There it is again. What's God's divine action? He gives me energy. What's the human responsibility? I struggle. And you see that over and over again in Scripture. Man, never think that, you know, I'm just going to kind of drift through life and God is going to go just take me here. No! It's going to be you working and it's going to be God working. That's how it is. Now, it is true that we have these beautiful promises. Look what it says in 1 Samuel 22, 29. We're going to talk about these common difficulties and how God works in our dark days. Look at verse 29. You, Lord, are my light. You dispel my darkness. Okay, that's good, but here's the question. How does he do it? All right? You've got something for us in our dark days, Lord, but how are you going to do it? What does it really mean practically for you to be there and dispel my darkness? Well, let's just talk about the three or four of these ways in which God does that. First of all, and you see this in your outline, God encourages me in my dark days of disappointment and discouragement. Man, disappointment and discouragement, that's a pretty common deal in all of our lives. And in fact, there's plenty of discouragement even in the Christmas story. Can you imagine how discouraged Mary must have been? Here she was. God came to her and said, listen, you are going to have the Christ child, So the God, she's probably thinking, the God of the universe is coming and I'm going to have the child. This has got to be Hilton all the way. Okay? And then she's born. The Christ child is born in a barn. She doesn't even get Motel 6, much less Hilton. So, yeah, there's disappointment there. But remember, many people are not just going through momentary disappointment, momentary discouragement. There, you see what I would just call, you know, a dark day of disappointment where you're going through weeks and months where you feel discouraged. And I think one of the most poignant examples of that is in the book of Job in the 30th chapter. Now, you remember that in the first two or three chapters of Job, man, he is following God. He said, well, the Lord gives, the Lord takes the way, blessed be the name of the Lord. He was doing well. But then the next 30 chapters, I'm going to say Job went through a dark day of disappointment, okay? And it was dark. And look what he says in chapter 30. He says, I hoped for happiness and light, but trouble and darkness came instead. See the theme again? I hoped for happiness, light. All I got was darkness. All I got was trouble. And I think most of us have felt somehow, you know, I wanted something good. I had a dream. I wanted something for my work. I wanted something for my marriage. I wanted something. Or maybe it's just simply a health issue. But in some way, I go, man, I wanted light. I wanted happiness. All I got was darkness. And sometimes, you know, in life, we kind of feel like a little boy who sees a Christmas present under the tree, and it's a round shape, and thinks, they've got me a basketball! I'm going to get a basketball at Christmas! And on Christmas morning, you open it, and it's a globe. If you ever want to disappoint a 10-year-old boy, get him a globe, all right? That'll do it right away. So, you know, we think, oh, man! You know, we thought this, but it's not happening. We talk about disappointment. So how does God help me in the middle of my disappointment? What is he going to do for me? Well, it starts, I think, with Psalm 34, 18. This gives us a clue. Look what it says. Here's God's job. The Lord is near to those who are discouraged, and he saves those who have lost all hope. And one of the first ways that God encourages us is simply through his presence. The Lord is near, that is, he hasn't left you in the middle of whatever you're disappointed with. And when a believer becomes aware of God's presence and the fact that he's with us, that he's for us, that he's right here, darkness begins to lift. Now, some of you have had a tough year this so far. You've had something that's discouraged you, something that's disappointed you, and it's been quite difficult. You know, you didn't get the promotion that you thought you were going to get. Some business snafu happened. You know, your hopes and your dreams and the things that you wanted didn't happen. So where is God in all of that? Well, he's right where he's always been. He is right by your side. One of the names for Jesus is Emmanuel, which means God with us. So he encourages me in my difficult times by reminding me that he is with me, but also by helping me be aware of his presence. So many great things happen when I become aware that God is near. Just like it says here, the Lord is near. But chief among those, you know, chief among what happens is that I'm filled with hope. In fact, look at Psalm 34 again. The Lord is near, he says, but then he says, he saves those who have lost all hope. God understands your need for hope. And when I know that God is present, hope begins to flood my life. And all of a sudden, the darkness begins to recede. I see the truth of who God is in a little better way. I see perspective. And that's what God is wanting to do. You know, I can think of more than one dark day in my life. Now, I've lived a pretty, I just say I'm grateful for all the blessings God has given me. But there have been dark days in my life. And I can remember many times being with God saying, Lord, I'm discouraged today. And all of a sudden, as I sense God's presence, his hope filled my life. And all of a sudden, bam, nothing's changed in my situation. Situation's still the same. And yet somehow I am filled with his hope and encouragement. And that's the reason that Paul prayed that way in Romans 15. Remember his prayer in Romans 15? He said this, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. So no matter how dark things look, the light of God's hope can fill me with encouragement. All of a sudden, the situation's the same, but I begin to see, oh, this is God. God is with me. God is for me. And all of a sudden, the darkness recedes, and I can get perspective again. I can see what's really there. I can say, oh, man, there's mountains just 10 miles away. I didn't even see them. Yeah, that's because the darkness was closing in on you, okay? So you say, okay, well, that's what God does. Well, what's your part in all this? Remember, there's God's part, right? But then there's our part. There's human responsibility. So it's very simple what our part is. We're discouraged. We're discontent, whatever. What do we have to do? All we have to do is pull close to God. That is, we have to come to Him. Look what it says in another context in James 4. Look what it says. Come near to God, and He will come near to you. Now, you got to know something. I'm just going to confess. In the next 3 points, I'm going to say the same thing over and over again in a new way. All right? I just want you to know that. And it's going to boil down to come near to God, and He'll come near to you. It means, this doesn't mean, by the way, this doesn't mean that, you know, if I'm somehow fed up with God, I'm kind of angry at Him, and I'm over here pouting, and it doesn't mean, well, God says, well, fine, if you're going to go over there and just pout, fine, just stay over there. That's not what God is doing. When it says here, come near to God, He'll come near to you, what it's really saying is when you become aware of the Lord, when you come to Him, when you confess your dependency upon Him, that's when you allow Him to enter into your life. You allow Him to work in your life. This isn't a, well, fine, if you go over there, that's okay with me. No, it's when you draw near, He'll draw near to you. That you know, you're saying to God, Lord, I want what you have to give. You know, as recently as this Saturday, I was discouraged about something Saturday morning, early in the morning, and I was here for a meeting, and I came in before the meeting, and I came right to the sanctuary, and I grabbed onto this thing, and I just said, Lord, you got to help me. You've got to give me your perspective on this thing. And all of a sudden, as I just waited on the Lord, I sensed again, oh, yeah, okay, yes, Lord. I know that you're here with me, and you're going to make things the way they need to be, and I can trust you. So many, many times that's happened to me. Now, we know that God is near to the brokenhearted, but we also know we got to reach out to Him if we want all that He can give us. Jesus has come to shine as a light into this dark world and into your dark life. So what do? You don't go over in the corner and say, well, fine, if God wants me, He'll find me. No, you said, now, come on, draw near. And that's one of the reasons it's so great to be in church every week. You come near, you're recentering on what God is doing. Now, number one, hey, God's light is shining into your dark day, into your dark and discouragement, and He's doing it by saying to you, hey, when I'm near, it's going to be okay. Okay, so you come near to me, and I'll encourage your heart. But secondly, not only helps with my discouragement, He also, His light is shining in the midst of my dark days of stress. Now, everybody knows about stress at Christmas time, do we not? Just think about it. Every year, we are required to buy the perfect gift for everybody we care about. That's stress, I would say, okay? Nothing truer than that. But listen, that's just the tip of the iceberg. You know, life in 21st century America is stressful. I mean, we have a lot to do. We feel overwhelmed. We feel frustrated. And if you think about it, you know, again to the Christmas story, did Mary probably feel some stress, you know, during that time? In the first place, she's 9 months pregnant, riding on a donkey, okay? That cannot be good. Secondly, they're trying to find a place to stay, and she's saying, well, Joseph, contractions are 5 minutes apart now. I'd say this, anybody been pregnant knows that you do not want to have, you know, no place to stay when you're in that condition. So a lot of stress there. But guys, really, if you look in the Bible, many places in the Bible, you see people who are under stress. Lots of stuff to do, lots of things going on. And in fact, the Apostle Paul, even though he addressed us and gave us many things, even though the Spirit used him to tell us how to overcome stress, look what he says in 2 Corinthians 11 about his own stress. He says, I have labored This is 2 Corinthians 11. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger, thirst, gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Now, to this point, he's not even complaining, because Paul was a soldier in Jesus Christ's army. And he knew that it was going to require sacrifice. He's not even complaining about being cold and naked and hungry. Look what he complains about. He does not really complain. And look what he says. He says, besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Man, I think I'm hearing stress there. Why? Because that spiritual responsibility, wanting the churches to do so well. And sometimes probably he felt overloaded. Now, most of us have felt some kind of pressure. Sometimes you feel stretched the limit. And when you feel stretched the limit, if you don't watch it, the darkness begins to close in. You begin to, oh man, I'm not really seeing the whole picture. I'm not really seeing all that God would want me to. And we begin to feel again as if somehow we're not going to be okay. In fact, I know that some of you are in dark days of stress right now. So what is God going to do for us? Remember God's part, your part. Well, look at Philippians 4:13. It's the Amplified Version. I have the strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. Now, some of you are saying, oh, yeah, I know that old all things in Christ deal. I heard that before. Okay, listen. Yeah, you're saying, what does it really mean? Well, I'm going to tell you what it really means. Here it is. It really does mean I have strength for everything. It really does mean that God gives me strength. Look at Ephesians 3. It says the same thing. I pray that out of his glorious riches, that means inexhaustible riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit. In other words, the Spirit of God in you will strengthen you. And where's he going to do it? In your inner being. Where do you feel stress? I think we're going to call that your inner being, okay? You feel stressed in your mind and in your heart. That's where stress is trying to break you down and spit you out. Okay, and look what it says there. God says, no way, man, the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit lives in you, and God's Spirit can give you what you need to handle that stress. He can strengthen you. Well, some of you are going, well, Art, if God is going to strengthen me in this stressful situation, he better hurry up because I'm just not feeling it, all right? Well, remember, there's God's part, and then there's your part. So let's examine this. God tells you here, his Spirit can strengthen you. How do you receive that strength? Very simply. Here it is. You ready? You run to him and get it. Look what it says in Proverbs 18. It's pretty clear. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous who are stressed out of their gourds run to it and are safe. We run to him. We reach out to him. Now, notice this is pretty similar to what I just said about the first point. Okay, I'm just kind of cluing you in here. I'm just saying it a different way. You run to him. You reach out to him. Again, you don't stay in the corner and go, well, fine, if God wants something from me, you're going to have to come get me. No, you get connected to him. I love, you know, a couple years ago we studied through 1 Samuel and the life of David, essentially. And do you remember in 1 Samuel 30, a terrible event happened to David. Let's read it, but it has a very key principle in it. It says this, David was greatly distressed because the men, that is his men, were talking of stoning him. Now, you remember what happened. He came back to his camp at Ziklag, and there had been a marauding party, and they had come and taken all their wives and children and all the stuff. And so these guys are angry at David. And in fact, would you be stressed if, like, 200 guys wanted to stone you? I feel that there would be some stress level. My heart might, you know, my adrenaline level might get up a little. Now, here's what David should have done. He should have said, you know, I'm feeling stressed right now. I'm just going to get out my day timer and make a list. What I have to do, because if I can just do more stuff, then the stress will actually go away, all right? So first of all, find marauding party, okay? Two, kill them and take our children back. Three, gain the men's trust back. That would be good. Four, I mean, you can make a nice list here. And that would have solved the problem, right? Well, what did he do? Well, let's just look. What did he do? Well, it says right here, David found strength in the Lord his God. He's got this big kick in the stomach You know, he comes back and man, things are really bad. So what does he do? He finds strength. Where does he find it? Up, oh, I'm searching for strength. Oh, there it is. You know, like, no. What does he do? How does he find the strength? Basically, I know this is simple, but basically what David did when he found strength in the Lord, he went to prayer and he found strength as he made contact with God. And he just said something like, Lord, here I am in trouble, but I know who you are. Now remind me of who you are and give me the strength I need. That's what he did. And so the danger is stress. You know what the danger in stress is? Is that you just give up. You just say, well, I'm just overwhelmed. I'm just not going to go any further. Listen, David was not going to do that. He was a soldier, and he was going to keep doing what he needed to do, but he knew that he had to run to God to get the strength to do it. The stress was too high. He couldn't make it. You know, it reminds me, remember the danger is all, we want to just give up. Oh, it's too much. I'm going to give up. It reminds me of that Little League baseball game, and it was 18-0. And a guy came along and talked to one of the Little Leaguers and said, well, son, why, you must be discouraged. It's 18-0. And the Little Leaguer kind of scratches his head and said, what do you mean impatient? We haven't even come to bat yet. Okay. You see, I want you to know something. There's always going to be a next at bat for you with God. God is going to help you. There's going to be a place where you can do what needs to be done, where God is going to help you to do the thing that's important to do. So, here we go. Wow. God's light, his truth, his perspective, his help comes to us in our dark days. First, with discouragement, disappointment. Secondly, in stress. But also, there's another common area of darkness, which I think believers often go through. You know what it is? God is going to give us light in our dark days of uncertainty and doubt. And in fact, in talking about spiritual light, Jesus says, man, the one who walks in darkness doesn't know where he's going, okay? Do you ever lose your way? Maybe you're feeling uncertain about the future. You don't know what's going to happen. You have doubt maybe about your own abilities. You have doubt about maybe if you're good enough to go through this. The fact is that there are plenty, I don't know if you know this, but there are plenty of potential reasons to have doubt and uncertainty in 2009. In fact, I actually advise you to stop listening to the television news, all right? That will help you, okay? But, I mean, will the economy be okay? Will I be able to do what I need to in my job? Will I get sufficient income? All kinds of things. Will this relationship work out? Will my health be okay? I mean, there are areas of uncertainty, and those areas of uncertainty can feel as if the darkness is closing in and my world gets smaller. And my perspective is much smaller than it should be. So, in fact, some of you, I could ask you this question. What uncertainty is keeping you awake at night? And probably there are some there. So how does God help us in uncertain times? How does God help us when we don't know, oh, man, can I do this? I don't know how it's all going to work out. I don't know what's going to go on. Where's it all going to lead to? Well, first of all, let's talk about God's part. All right? What's God's part? He does something that you cannot do. What does he do? This is so deep. God stays in control. That means that you can't do it, but God stays in control. Look at Psalm 57:2. Here's David. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. So God is doing something you can't do. He's working behind the scenes. He's weaving the tapestry of your life. He's working. He's closing doors. He's opening doors. He's working out his purpose for your life. You can't do that. You can't make sure that's happening. God is doing what he needs to do. So what's your part in it? You are going to be so surprised about this. Wow. You've got to open your heart and mind for God's guidance. You've got to go to him to run to see what he wants you to do. Guys, isn't it true that we all have to live with some level of uncertainty? Isn't it true? We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen even in our job. But here's the deal. We don't have to know everything. We don't have to know every step ahead. All we need to know is the next step. So we seek God and find the next step. In times of uncertainty, in times of doubt, we seek God and we find the next step. So when you face doubts and uncertainty, there's a reliable source to help you do that. You know what it's called? It's called the Bible. Look at Psalm 119. Your words are a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. So it's like having a huge, here's the darkness. Lord, things are so uncertain. I can't see the path ahead. I don't know what's going to, hey, here's a huge flashlight. Man, oh man, I can't see everything, but I can see the few feet ahead. I know the next step to take. And often the Word of God will help you find the next step. And it might be, okay, here's the attitude I want you to have in the middle of this uncertainty. Or here's the next practical thing you could do to move through. So it's really about somehow finding the next step in God's Word. Now, and really, guys, you are going to have to make decisions in 2009. Here's the only question. On what basis will you make those decisions? Will you make them on the basis of your feelings? Bad idea. Okay, bad idea. Well, I just felt I should. No, bad idea. Don't do that. You're going to make a lot of mistakes if you just said, well, I just felt like. No. Make them on the basis of God's Word. There's always a next step for you. There's always something that God wants you to do. And listen, I want to let you know something. I think many times we always say to ourselves, well, we want to see steps 1 through 13. We want to see, you know, God, we want to see it all. We want to be in control. I say, nope, just follow me, get to me, look at my word, get the next step. You're going to be okay. Now, boy, God's light for my dark days. He encourages me. He helps strengthens me in stress. He helps me to live through uncertainty in a way that honors him. And finally, this is one of the big areas. He gives me light for my dark days of crisis and loss. Next slide here. For my dark days of crisis and loss. There we go. Now, I want you to know something. A crisis is not just some annoyance, all right? Now, my daughter is going to get married next Sunday. And I want you to know, I can guarantee that no matter what happens, if there's not enough cupcakes, if the roads are a little icy and not as many people show up, if somehow the pastor faints or something, that will not be a crisis. Okay? Next year, when the Mariners fail yet again to reach the playoffs, that will not be a crisis. A crisis is what happens when people perceive the loss of something, or they really lose something, or they perceive the loss of something that's very important to them. And man, that's a crisis. That's a loss. A high school senior is about ready to go to college on a football scholarship, and his knee gets crunched in the last game. A single mom loses her job. A man is presented with divorce papers. Man, those are crises. You know, the dog ate your test, okay? So whatever it is, it's going to be bigger than just something, some little annoyance. In fact, it reminds me of, you remember in World War II, Winston Churchill said, when the war started, he said, the light has gone out in Europe. And sometimes with crisis and loss, we think to ourselves, man, the light has gone out. And this loss seems so devastating that, again, it's like all the lights, it's just they come right in and darkness is almost touching us. And we look around and we can't see the truth. We can't see God's perspective. And in fact, one of my favorite books of the Bible in the Old Testament is Habakkuk. And part of it is Habakkuk's attitude. But I want you to see the crisis that Habakkuk is in. Look what he says in Habakkuk 3. He says, I heard, that is, he heard God speak about what was going to happen, and my heart pounded, my lips quivered at the sound, decay crept into my bones, that cannot be good, and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Well, you know, Habakkuk can look ahead, he can see what God was saying, but he knew that calamity was ahead for him, for the nation. And because of it, look what he had. Man, he had a heart that was pounding, lips that were quivering. He had bones that were decaying. And some of you faced a major crisis in 2008. Maybe it was a divorce, death of a loved one, a defeat. Maybe someone let you down. You faced a loss of some kind. Well, how does God shed light in the middle of those crises and losses? Well, it's very simple. You know what God does? He brings you comfort. He brings you comfort. Look what it says in Psalm 23:4. Even though I go through the deepest darkness, I will not be afraid, for the Lord, you are with me. And of course, we know at the end of that verse, he said, hey, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Knowing that God is walking with me and helping me, that gives me comfort. 2 Corinthians goes even further. Look at 2 Corinthians. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles. You know, see that Greek word comfort? It has the image of someone just coming alongside and ministering to you, helping you, standing with you in severe testing. That's the image here. The Holy Spirit is able to bring comfort to you. So you say, what's my part in comforting and being comforted? Well, think about it. Let's suppose you're a parent and you have a four-year-old over here. And the four-year-old is hurt and angry and they lost something. You took away something that they wanted. The four-year-old is standing over here going, they got her tongue out. So the parent is over here wanting to comfort the child. If the child would just come on, stop that. Come on over here, kid. I want to comfort you. Okay? If you'll just come on over here. Well, again, notice I've said the same thing four times. What are you going to do when it comes to getting comforted, to getting the light of God's comfort? Well, the first thing you're going to have to do is express your feelings to God. Come to God and express your feelings to Him. Some of you are going, you can talk about your feelings to God? Yeah, okay. In fact, look at Psalm 142. Here's David. He's in the midst. By the way, David is in a cave here. Just got to know, he's in a cave hiding out from Saul. Look what he says. Verse 1, I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice for mercy. I pour out before Him my complaint. Before Him I tell my trouble. So the first thing David does, he's in loss. He's experiencing trouble, a crisis. And the first thing he says is, okay, I know there's a good God in heaven who loves me. He's my heavenly Father, and instead of staying over here in the cave with my lip out, I think I'll come over here to God and get His comfort. And so he begins to tell Him, God, I'm in bad shape here. In fact, remember Psalm 62, he said the same thing. David said, trust in Him at all times, pour out your hearts to Him. Pour out your hearts. It's okay to pour out your heart to God in prayer and complaint even. And in fact, it's not only okay, it's the right thing to do. You need to go to God and say, Lord, I'm brokenhearted here. I don't even know what's going on, and it's painful, okay? But number two, don't stop there. Many people, you know, people who really don't do very well in life, all they do is go to God and complain. God, you don't do this. God, you don't do that. God, I'm sick of this, you know. And then what happens? They walk away with the same kind of despair as they came to God with. So number two, find God's perspective in the midst of your pain. Not only come to talk to Him, but number two, wait with Him long enough to get His perspective. And remember, that's how light comes in your life. Get His perspective. In fact, if you examine the Psalms, man, You'd see that over and over. The psalmist just comes, oh, Lord, I'm in deep pain. This is really the pits. I can't even understand how bad this is and why you're allowing it. And then, often in the psalms, they'll wait. And then you'll begin to see them gain perspective. And notice this in many of the psalms. First three or four verses, you know, this is happening. It's not good, not good. God, but then they get perspective. They find perspective. In fact, David does that very thing here. First he said, Lord, I'm in deep pain. I'm in the cave. I'm complaining to you now. And then in verse 3, look what he says. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who watch over my way. I cry to you, Lord. You are my refuge, my portion in the land of living. So he pours out his heart. But then he doesn't just pour out his heart. He waits. Okay, now, Lord, remind me again. Remind me of what's true. Remind me. Oh, yeah. You're my refuge. I know, Lord. You see, that's what happens when we come to him. And so that's the reason that the very worst thing you can do in crisis, loss, and pain is just go your own way. It's the worst thing you do. And, of course, it's the very thing Satan would like to get you to do. I'll just go over in the corner and pout. Just go over in the corner and pout. If God really cared about you, this wouldn't be happening. You know, and so you stay over there uncomforted. And God has something very much different for you. That's how you gain comfort. You wait for God's perspective. You see what God wants for you. And all of a sudden, as you get God's light perspective, you see something different. Now, listen. You know what Jesus said? I have come as a light to shine in the dark world. Now, Christians, we know that when we placed our faith in Christ, all of a sudden, there was light. We found the light of a relationship with God. We know that's true. But I'm just telling you, Christians, darkness can threaten to close in on you in your life. And you need to know that God wants to bring light. And as you cooperate with him, God's light comes flooding into your life. Listen, God's light, God's perspective, God's truth is going to bring you what you need. But there's God's part and there's your part. Would you be aware that you have what you need in any dark day when you will come to him? Because if you come to him, he will come to you.
We trust you are inspired and challenged by this message. For additional resources and information about Lighthouse Christian Center and its ministries, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org or contact us at 253-848-2028. We'll be right back.